Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Cool Rangers announcement going on with their broadcast and setup. Jared Sandler is going to do a simulcast TV and radio pregame show, which will be pretty cool. A lot of the other stuff staying the same, but we're excited to talk with Jim Cochran, their chief marketing officer, about the changes to their broadcast setup coming up here at 3:20. Talk about their new TV network and all that. But right now, it's Zach Wolchuk's NFL News Today, Zachary.
All right. Before we dive into that, if anybody is an animal lover like me, I would encourage you to go to 1053thefan.com/adopt. Right now, we're partnering with Dallas Animal Services, and we've got a list of really, really beautiful dogs that you can go ahead and adopt, and let's get them in a good home. Some of them are named. We got Tolo, who's one of the dogs you can adopt. We've got a Woolly Bully. Go ahead and get Woolly Bully, gentle and curious lady who's always up for a calm adventure, 3 years young.
Lady Woolly Bully.
Very furry as well, looks very soft.
What kind of dog is the Woolly Bully?
We've got Lucius. I actually don't know. It looks like kind of a mix here, but a good coat. Really good coat here on the Woolly Bully. Lucius is available as well.
Yeah, I seen that Lucius one, man. I want to tweet it out, you know, put it out there, because give Lucius, good old Lucius, a good home.
Really good smile.
But I'm scared my old lady might adopt the dog behind my back.
I mean,
let's get Lucius name a Lucius. Belly rub.
Yeah, and I read the description of Lucius. I was like, I'll be damned. They picked me out, didn't they?
Yeah.
They got me.
Lucius, active, loves his walk.
Very lazy.
He has no issues with being left alone in his room.
Yes. How did they know?
And then we got Chops. Chops is available as well. Plus Slater. You can adopt Slater if you'd like. Sweet and gentle 6-month-old pup. So let's find these dogs a new home that would make me and I think our friends at Dallas Animal Services very, very happy. Cowboys news, CeeDee Lamb out of the 2025 Pro Bowl game due to injury. Mike Evans going to step in on his behalf. I did think J.J. Watt summed this up perfectly. He was like, okay, if we're getting to our fifth alternates with this, this is just a participation bowl. It's not a Pro Bowl, all right? If we're now going down to, like, who is the fifth best player at your position, maybe sometimes the seventh best player at your position, I don't know. I don't know if there's any saving any of these all-star games in sports. They're all just kind of stinking right now. It's all about the, like, the skills competition's fun. Let's just do that. No game. Let's just do the skills stuff. That'll be it.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with it. I mean, there's a history to it, and then sponsors are in play, and there's a recognition factor. I think what would be best for fans, though, is if you just totally eliminated the Pro Bowl from our memories, so there was no expectation of it happening.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really need anything other than the all-pro teams.
I don't watch it. It's really bad. Not fun.
No, I do love when they used to dip the balls in some powder and aim it at the target. Dan Marino spinning it, Favre spinning it. Like, those were actually fun.
I love the skills comps.
Super competitive.
The Larry Allen strongest man competition. You can get the fastest man competition. We get a race with our fastest players in the league. Like, that type of stuff, that's what we should be doing. Just do the skills. No game, just the skills.
I would love to see a 4x4 100 relay.
That'd be a blast. A great idea.
AFC versus NFC.
Yeah.
Take your four fastest, and we'll take our four fastest. Yeah.
What about, like, an O-lineman eat-off?
That could be who can eat the most chicken wings, or you could do a sponsorship.
Bring your best eaters.
Yeah. Bring your best eaters.
Bring your three best eaters. I'll bring my three best eaters.
You know me, I'm always about bringing the best eaters.
I'm bringing Zion.
Who's your number one pick?
Zion.
If we're doing all sports, Zion's the leader. Yeah. Who would be your football pick if you're drafting in an eating competition? You're having a Pro Bowl games eat-off. One of these filthy offensive linemen, I think.
If I can get a legend, I'm going Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, Vince would probably be a good one. Or like Ted Johnson.
Well, I don't know these days if he's got the appetite for something like that.
I mean, did something happen there?
I just no longer in playing shape.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, okay.
In the broadcast business.
Okay.
I mean, but one of these 300, like Jordan Mailata, the Australian rugby star at 380
Jordan
pounds.
Could put it down. He might
have
be able to.
Think. Lane Johnson. Maybe it's an offensive lineman like beer pong competition.
If you're going like marathon, yes, give me one of those big Hawaiian dudes like Vita Vea.
Oh,
you know, because I think they can eat constantly, you know, just about. But for a sprint, I think Kobayashi, you know, maybe a smaller guy.
Different build.
Built for the quickness.
Right.
Yeah, consumption. If this thing's time, that's a good point. We'll have to do some research, like who are the best eaters.
Fred Smoot. I'm going to do Fred Smoot. Didn't he say something about running through the okra patch?
Mm-hmm. Freddie's got that. Yeah, he's got Shout out to the Love Boat. Saints coaching search reportedly no longer accepting new interviews. It's going to be either Kellen Moore or Mike Kafka, as the Saints head coach, and reports are Kellen Moore in the driver's seat to get that job there in New Orleans. And I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a job really anybody wants. Mike McCarthy's not going to be taking it. He's going to wait for the 2026 coaching cycle. Ian Rapoport says he's expected to be a very hot commodity in 2026. So he's going to go back to the barn, reinvent himself, watch every single game of whatever team hires him. He'll say that. He won't actually do it, and we'll see where he ends up.
Yeah, it's pretending season. You know, he's going to wake up every day and, you know, look at his film room and then go back to enjoying his life and seeing if he can get Tom Pelissero to write an article about him again.
Absolutely. Maybe Jay Glazer can go ahead and help find him a new job.
Absolutely.
Too.
Jay's good at that.
The Glaze.
All right, here's Bill Belichick, who did his Let's Go podcast. And, you know, he's with Jim Gray. They're talking about the trophy. They're talking about great players. Is it time to rename the Vince Lombardi Trophy?
Players win games. You can't win games without good players. I don't care who the coach is. It's impossible. You can't win without good players.
Impossible.
You know, I found out when I had Taylor and Banks and Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt, Everson Walls, all those guys of the Giants. And same thing, you know, when we got good at Cleveland and then at New England. I mean, it's, you know, it's Brady, it's McGinnis, it's Vrabel, it's Brewski, it's Corey Dillon, it's Randy Moss, Troy Brown, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Rodney Harrison. Those are the guys that won the games, man. I didn't make any tackles. I didn't make any kicks. That was Vinatieri that made that kick in 4 inches of snow. You got to have good players. And as a coach, you want to give your players a chance to win. You want to put them in a position where if they go out there and play well, they'll have a chance to win. That's what Coach Parcells taught me is, there's always a way to win. You just got to figure out what it is, and you have to give the players a chance.
They don't name it the Star Trophy. It's named the Lombardi Trophy.
Maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. He won seven of them.
Should we rename it the Tom Brady Trophy?
No. I mean, the Lombardi Trophy has a great ring to it.
It does, man. It's a football name.
It's timeless. You wouldn't want to win any other trophy if you're in football than the Lombardi. I think, you know, the Tom Brady Super Bowl MVP or something, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want to make it all about the players, then name it the Players Trophy. I don't know why you would want to
the Players
single
trophy.
Out one guy. You know, it seems disrespectful all the other positions.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it to be like in a preseason speech or whatever to the team. Like, we're going for that Brady.
Yeah.
We want to put our hands on that Brady. I cannot wait to kiss that Brady. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to hoist that Brady over my head. You think that sounds better than Lombardi?
I don't know if it sounds better, but we've grown up with Lombardi. So to us, that sounds right. If you had another generation come up and it's now called the Brady Trophy, I'm sure they'd feel connected to the Brady Trophy like we do the Lombardi Trophy.
I think Mahomes is going to have something to say about this in about a decade. Maybe. Brady might not have a huge run with his name it being the Brady. It might be hoisting the Mahomes.
Give it another 5 years. It's the Mahomey Trophy.
I think this might be kind of low-key hating, though. You know, if it can't be me, I don't want it to be another coach.
See, yeah. Dang.
Oh, is that
good
what Bill B's doing here?
Yeah.
He never really liked that.
Dick
Lombardi.
Wolf, back at it again.
He was always a Landry fan. Landry had some time with the Giants.
He did.
Bill B loves himself some Giants. That was always his dream job.
Yeah, Landry and actually Lombardi worked together. One on offense, one on defense.
There you go. All right, sticking with the Super Bowl, Peter King, who has the biggest bonus here with the time off? Like, which player do you think ends up having the best impact from the extra week? This is Peter King's thoughts, and I thought he made a good point.
How has Saquon managed to stay upright, you know, with all the stuff? So I added it up. And this year, Saquon has carried the ball 411 times in 19 games, and he's caught 41 passes in 19 games. So that's 452 touches from scrimmage. And, you know, he's probably happy, and I'm sure the Eagles are happy because of the other injuries they have, that he's going to have 13 days between games.
So you're going to need a very rested and fresh Saquon Barkley. Now, they didn't even get the one seed, so they didn't get the benefit of, okay, now we've got a week off. They played the wild card round. This is the first time since their bye week you're going to get an extra added week of rest for Barkley. That certainly could impact things. Fresh legs here.
Yeah, I think for him and for Hurts, honestly, because we know how banged up Hurts has been. And
Juergens, their offensive
line. Yeah, ultimately, I think just the overall health factor benefits the Eagles in a huge way. I think the Chiefs are relatively healthy right now.
Yeah, they've seemed to get healthier really as the season went on. They got Hollywood Brown back. I think it's a bonus for
Okay, so you have the rule of 370. He's going to go over 470 total touches. Is this Saquon's last great season?
I don't know if it'll be his last great season, but I do think we could probably assume next year he's not playing the full year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I doubt he's
going back-to-back years of health. Like, we just saw it with McCaffrey, right?
Yeah, there's no question.
McCaffrey 28, over the hill.
This has to be the height of it all. It'll never be like this again.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, but Henry's 31 now, 4 years older. That would be something if Saquon could keep this up.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be flirting with Eric Dickerson's record again. I think this was probably the last year of that.
The iconic Eric Dickerson record.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Hey, I had to.
Nice work.
Just get one in the show.
And that's 2 weeks in a row now, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to hold it down for us.
We call that a streak.
Because it's the running back revival. Jameis Winston is going to join Fox Sports Digital as a correspondent for Super Bowl week in New Orleans. He will take the digital audience around NOLA on video, journeying, showcasing his favorite dining and entertainment hotspots. This is must watch.
Yes.
And we've got to find a way to get Jameis on the show next week.
Oh, wow.
Like, Eric, we're going to have to go man on the street style if this is what has to happen. We've got to find a way to bump into Jameis. That's got to be our goal all week. We're on the hunt. Like, if we're making our videos for the fan, we're on the hunt for Jameis Winston. Where are you, Jameis? Look for the crab legs.
You
got to
figure he's going to be on Radio Row talking about it. You know, he's got to do something between lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and eating all those dubs.
He'd be a guy that I think if you walk up on unannounced with the wireless, he would embrace it.
Yeah.
You guys could end up becoming real, real tight friends at that point.
He'd give you a little kiss on the head.
Volchuk and Trey Lance.
It's true.
Are you going to go for redemption with TJ Houshmandzadeh? Mr. Houshmandzadeh, would it be okay if I interview you on live radio in Dallas-Fort Worth?
I feel better about doing that than I remembered it was LeVar Arrington that really had look in his eye. You know what I mean?
He'd had enough.
You start scratching some of that CTE.
Yes.
The anger, flip that switch. That's the guy that I'd want to stay most away from. You know, that dude put fear into me.
In fact, we walked by LeVar Arrington just sitting by himself at that restaurant in the hotel in Vegas.
He was just growling.
Like, you could tell he wanted to make sure nobody else walked up to him. He's like, leave me alone. I'm eating my omelet. It's very intimidating.
It's a damn good looking omelet, though. He built that thing to perfection.
Oh, that was definitely build your own.
It was a triple protein.
No question. That's not on the menu. That was a build your own. Chuck Pagano's returning to the NFL. Hired as Ravens secondary coach on John Harbaugh's staff. So he was actually with the Ravens a long time ago before he got that job with the Indianapolis Colts. Don't think we'll get to see him on McAfee anymore every week. That's a bummer. Maybe he'll still join via video. But Pagano back in the league. So congratulations to you, coach. Now, we've got a little bit of conflict of interest here for Jason Kelce. Now, 2 years ago, this was like the Kelce Bowl. Mama Kelce really jumped onto the scene. It was like Jason with the Eagles, Travis with the Chiefs. Well, now, Jason, you're not with the Eagles anymore, okay? I know you're always going to love the Eagles. You got a lot of friends on that team, and you're probably kicking yourself. I should have just done one more year. I'd be playing in the Super Bowl again with a chance to win it. You didn't, okay? You're tired.
Is it completely
success?
Is it off limits? Is it against league rules to add him to the roster right now and go push his tush instead of Juergens for
Super
Bowl Sunday?
Because it would be a better tush to push. That's a great question. Brian, I'm going to need you to use your resources. Let us know. Can they add any more players here? Jason Kelce out of retirement, maybe? Yes, no. I'm going to say no. I'm going to crap on that idea, Eric. Good idea. I'm going to say hell no, they can't do that. But here's Jason, New Heights. Who you rooting for, bro?
We can't tell who you're rooting for, Jason.
What are you talking about?
Unbelievable.
This is just what I'm wearing around the house. I just have a lot of Eagles gear.
I mean, it makes sense.
Here's the biggest thing. For me, obviously, you're my brother. I always root for my brother. That's the reality of it. All right? Even though I'm decked out in Eagles gear, I'm always going to root for Travis.
Take that, Philly.
But.
What?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people in the Philadelphia organization, whether it's players, coaches, people in the building, that feel like extended family to me, especially my former linemen. Like Lane Johnson feels like a brother in a lot of ways. I'm rooting for those guys too. I'm rooting for Philadelphia and I'm rooting for Travis Kelce. That's the reality of it. No matter what, on game day, I'm going to be happy for one of those sides and I'm going to be sad for the other side.
Yeah, I was about to say it'd be mixed emotions, man.
I still feel like I am a Philadelphia Eagle and that I'm a part of all of these people that root and cheer on our team. I would be lying if I said I don't want the Eagles to win, but I also want Travis Kelce to win. So Yes. That's a long-winded way of saying, I just want to see a good football game, and whoever wins, I'm going to be happy for that guy.
You heard it here first, folks. He wants Travis Kelce to win.
Right answer. Like, you got to root for your brother here. I know you played for the Eagles for a long time, but ultimately, family over everything, right?
Like, doesn't sound
I mean, it's
like
a
it,
political
though.
Answer. Yeah. I think his heart's still with the Eagles.
He's just like, really, is. Like, once the game starts, he's going to be rooting for the Eagles to win.
No, he knows how powerful of a marketing machine that fan base is and how passionate and loyal they are, and he doesn't want to lose them. But he's rooting for the Chiefs.
I think so, too. He's got to root for his brother.
They're rabid enough to, like, really turn on him and make life a living hell.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. Speaking of making life a living hell, the 49ers have done that for the Cowboys in recent years in the postseason. Well, they're going to restructure All-Pro Fred Warner's contract this offseason. That's going to free up $12 million in cap space. My guess is that's to bring back his running mate, Dre Greenlaw, who is a free agent.
Yeah.
Really? So, that's not just earmarked for somebody else in 3 years?
No. I think they like to kind of see, like, okay, this dude's an all-pro and a stud. He's established. So we're not just going to, like, we think we're going to pay this guy, even though we know we're going to pay
this guy.
Came
back for one game this year.
He was a monster in the game. He was like 10 tackles in the first half, just bullying people.
So that makes a lot of sense as to why they would want to do that. And the prices for the Super Bowl commercials, oh my God. I know KMC was talking about this earlier, but some commercials for the Super Bowl, they're selling for $8 million an ad.
Just doesn't make sense, but I guess that's how big the population is. I mean, but how much of your thing do you need to sell in the next 24 or 48 hours to justify that kind of expenditure? It's insane.
A couple inches?
These are just the big dogs, though.
I guess you get all the social media off that. It's going to be talked about on TV and radio, so it's not just the impact of the actual deal, but you're buying a lot of cool stuff.
I think it's a deal.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most watched event every year. So
for the amount of eyeballs you get on that,
worth it.
And the talk about it,
especially if you know you got a good commercial, like, hey, this thing's going to get the people.
Even
growing.
The ones that aren't very good get talked about as being not very good.
That's true.
They still get the exposure.
You either want the best or you want the worst. Like, we're going to lean into having the worst ad. You don't want to be in the middle.
Yeah. I remember years ago when it was such a big deal that it was going to be $1 million for the 30-second ad. Now we've multiplied that by eight. We've eight applied it. Thank you, Woolchuck. By the way, Neighborly Beef won the G-Bag of the Day. It was a very close vote-off at G-Bag Nation, 52-48. Rangers Chief Marketing Officer Jim Cochran's going to tell us about their new broadcast partnership details, plus the C-Note. Did the Cowboys get the next Andy Reid? That's coming up next. G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Very cool broadcast news this week with the Texas Rangers. We're going to get Jim Cochran on here in just a second. Then we got your C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. I will pay off on that tease. Did the Cowboys get the next Andy Reid? Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. As Rangers Chief Marketing Officer Jim Cochran joins us now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Always great to be back with the nation.
Man, it's great to have you, and it seems like this offseason has been a lot of fun. I know you, Jim, as a lifelong Ranger fan, you got to love some of our new additions. And, you know, we got a lot of changes with the broadcast setup as well. What all did you guys announce today over the last hour or so?
Yeah, so Rangers Sports Network is an entity we created this year because, the challenges we've had with television the last couple of years, we sat down and decided that we wanted to bring this in-house and find ways to get the games to Rangers fans. And so when we did that, we said we have to make the games available to as many fans as we can. And there was obviously a revenue component that we needed to work on as well. But today we announced, you heard the victory announcement a couple weeks ago, and today we announced some cable and satellite partners, DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, UVerse, and Spectrum. And then we announced some free over-the-air games as well with our partners at Nexstar and the CW33 here in Dallas-Fort Worth and their network of stations throughout our five-state region and great television as well. So we'll have some free games on over-the-air this year, 15 of those games. And then, our cable and satellite partners, and then, of course, Victory Plus, who's been doing a great job with the Stars as well.
It's got to be gut-wrenching as a marketing and revenue guy to watch, so many fans have a difficult time getting their eyes in front of your sponsors' messages over the last, it seems like it's gone on for a decade or so now with these regional sports networks struggling to, get distribution that we like.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's why we wanted to control our own destiny as far as how this goes. And you know, but we've had great success. Obviously, winning the World Series in 23, and it was frustrating when we'd have fans tell us that they couldn't watch the games. And, you know, now we're able to do that. And there's also been confusion as to, you know, what is in market, out of market. And so our home television territory is the entire state of Texas, all of Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and kind of slice of eastern New Mexico. And so any Rangers fans that are in those states, they now can go to Victory Plus and get the games if their cable and satellite provider doesn't have RSN on their channels. And so we're working on additional distribution agreements as the season approaches, and we'll continue to do that and make fans aware of how they can watch the games this year.
So what's the role of our buddies Jared Sandler and Mike Baskin? Are we doing some simulcasts for pre and post?
Yeah, we're excited to do that. You know, we've got great content. It was, you know, obviously on the fan with you guys, with our Hall of Fame broadcaster, Eric Nadell. He does a great interview with the manager every night. And of course, Jared's great at what he does, as you guys know as well, too. And so we're gonna do a simulcast. We've got great content that we had on the radio. We had great content on TV, and there's no reason why Rangers fans shouldn't be able to see that regardless of how they're consuming the game. And we want to have some fun with the pregame show too. We want people tuning in to see what's going on. We're going to bring Elvis Andrus in and let him have some fun. You guys know what personality Elvis has. And, you know, of course, Bassett being an analyst, and Dave Murphy as well, they'll all be involved in the pre and postgame show.
Jim Cochran, Rangers Chief Marketing Officer, congrats on these. Thank you for these. It seems, you know, totally real now that if you have a good cable or satellite package, the Rangers games are likely going to be, you know, on TV for you that night.
Yeah, no question about it. And as I mentioned, we've got additional distribution deals that we're working on. You know, I will tell fans, so our content has value, and the markets determine what that value is. And if you have a cable or satellite provider who doesn't end up carrying RSN, that's why we did the deal with Victory Plus. Okay. And that's why we're out there and with those guys. And again, they're doing a great job with the Stars. And, you know, Neil Grunninger and Jason Walsh, who run that operation, we've known them for a long time, and we're excited to partner with them. And so there are ways, and we won't have to answer emails anymore for fans saying, hey, how do I watch the games? Now, it's still going to carry forward that if a fan lives outside of our home television territory, so if we've got a Rangers fan in North Carolina, Minnesota, wherever they are, MLB.TV is still their way to do that. But if you're in our five-state region, hopefully we've got a cable or satellite provider that's carrying, but if not, Victory Plus and then the 15 over-the-air games on Nextstar stations. You can go to rangers.com/tunein for all this information. You can see all the stations on the over-the-airs that are in all the outer markets and places like Abilene, Amarillo, San Antonio, Tulsa, et cetera, on how you'd be able to watch those games. And so we're excited to bring this to the fans.
Well, thank you, Jim. Can't wait to see you out there in Surprise or opening day or wherever it is. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, glad to do it, and got to apologize to the chief that we didn't do this in person. I couldn't bring you the giant mozzarella stick, but we'll do it next time you're out here.
Hey, I've been thinking about it. Are those going to be making a comeback this year?
No, but I could probably find one for you next time you're out here.
That would be beautiful. That would be beautiful. I cannot wait to see what these new concession items are going to be, though. You know how fired up we get about that, and I know you guys are going to go 10 out of 10.
Yeah, we'll get you out here for it.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jim.
Have a good one. There they go. Jim Cochran, Chief Marketing Officer with the Texas Rangers here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, it's going to be free Friday evening games a lot of times on old school over-the-air TV. You got rabbit ears. You're watching Texas Rangers like once a week. And it's been a long time in the making. You know, I got to imagine it's a win-win for everybody. The team gets more viewers. The sponsors get more eyeballs on the commercials. And the fans have a lot better access now. And, of course, you know, we always love it when you just listen on 105 through the Fan. And you know, baseball is a great radio sport. Okay, I will pay off this tease here in just a minute, but do we have some developing news here that maybe the Cowboys are talking with a Jets defensive coach, Wolchuk?
Yeah, Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic is reporting that the Cowboys are interested in hiring Jets defensive line coach Aaron Whitecotton to the staff of Brian Schottenheimer. He began his NFL career with the Jags in 2013 and as an assistant to the defensive staff. Then he was promoted to assistant defensive line coach before he joined the Bills staff in 2017 as an administrative assistant to the head coach. Spent two seasons there in Buffalo, went over to the 49ers to be the assistant D-line coach, and then has been with the Jets as their primary defensive line coach since 2021. And if there's one thing the Jets have gotten right and done really well year in and year out, their defensive line is always amongst the best in the NFL.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that. And he is a very, very highly respected guy in the league, too, as well. And you mentioned about the Jets and the background that, that he's had and the places he's been. So, yeah, this one is got some legs to it. So keep it maybe here in the, you know, I think what they're trying to do is maybe announce all these guys at the same time. So it's kind of up to us to try and pick them off one at a time.
Got it.
But this would be a name that I would keep an eye on for sure.
Coaching staff's coming together pretty quick now.
Yeah, I saw Nick Harris, who was talking with Stephen Jones at the Senior Bowl. Stephen said they're working as we speak to try and bring in an offensive coordinator higher. So I think you're probably spot on.
I think it might be
Give me that Cardinals guy.
I think it's the Cardinals guy.
Let's
there.
Go.
That's a huge win, yeah, man.
Yeah. I think it's going to be
both
the
these hires guys. Are pretty exciting.
Steps in the right direction. Okay, yeah. And speaking of Stephen Jones, we go to the Twitter account of Jory Epstein, and she is working that Senior Bowl, and she tweets, I asked Steve, Devils, she said Stephen Jones. I think still only we are calling him Steve, but this is going to get some legs here any day now. She goes, Devil's advocate, Shoddy hasn't called plays since 2020 and hasn't demonstrated modern offense. What gives the Cowboys confidence that this can come together? I don't know. Maybe I'm getting ball sacked. Maybe I'm getting butt cracked. Maybe Jory Epstein has, you know, a fake account. But Steven answered Andy Reid. What a career. You know, he's a guy who did it differently in Philadelphia, and he's evolved. Is that reach of the year or what? What gives you confidence? Shoddy can evolve? Andy Reid did. I mean, forget about the fact that he'd already been good enough to make it to four NFC title games in a Super Bowl, Brian, and then took the next step in Kansas City because he got a better quarterback.
It's a big leap, man.
Wow.
That's a stretch.
We're reaching, Steve.
You know what? Yeah, you're not wrong. But the thing I think he's trying to say is, well, I don't know what he's trying to say, because Andy never called plays. You know, Andy got the Philadelphia job never calling plays. But Schottenheimer has called plays, so I don't understand his connection. If you told me that, and maybe he misunderstood her question, that Shoddy hadn't called plays in a while.
Yeah,
I know. One of my arguments I've always made about Andy was like they say, well, look at Andy Reid. Andy never called plays. Andy went from being like offensive line, tight end guy, quarterback coach to basically being assistant head coach, and then. To being a head coach.
I mean, the premise of it is,
I think he misunderstood her question. If that's the case, but well, I mean, I would never compare the two.
No. The comparison of the two individuals, I think, is extremely off in a way that contaminates the analogy or the premise.
Yeah.
But it would be, hey, you know, you can work a long time in the league and see things, and if you're open minded and flexible and adaptable, you can grow and you know, and become better, and that's what we have to hope for. I mean, the way you guys are talking about this potential offensive coordinator hire from the Arizona Cardinals, I think schematically we're heading in the right direction, you know, of you know, finding the guys. And for Andy Reid, it's, you know, being so open-minded that he encourages his coaching staff to bring in new plays and concepts and sets, and that's exactly what you need.
Well, it doesn't sound like that Mike McCarthy was willing to do that.
No, he
and
felt
maybe,
threatened.
And maybe that's where Steven's trying to get a little bit of a parallel. I don't know. It seems like a very odd pairing of the two. But the more you dig in on this Mike thing, it sounds like that Schottenheimer did the complete opposite of what I did when I worked with the Cowboys. He kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
I do feel like, and a good organization would encourage that sort of critical feedback. You need somebody to be honest with you.
Yeah, if you're sitting there, and I guarantee you when Brian Schottenheimer interviewed for this job, he reminded Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones every time that they were probably in a meeting when they questioned that something that Mike McCarthy was doing, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, remember when we were talking about this in this game? Remember this. I guarantee you he brought all those things up. And that's the Joneses, and I think that's how you kind of sell yourself.
Our buddy Calvin Watkins just reporting Cowboys are finalizing re-signing their strength and conditioning staff. So that group was in the final year of their deals. All three, Harold Nash, Kendall Smith, and Cedric Smith, attended Shoddy's news conference on Monday. They're all expected to be back.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Coming up next, Chief, you got something to add there?
I was just thinking about like how important it was for a guy like Andy Reid and the staff that he put around him. And I'm just looking at some of the stuff, and like especially defensively. I mean, you have Jim Johnson.
You have Ron Rivera, Leslie
Frazier, Steve Spagnuolo. You have John Harbaugh, Brad Childress. How many of these guys ended up becoming head coaches themselves? Sean McDermott. That's the type of staff that he was able to put together. If you want to have an inkling into how he was able to pull that off. Of course, he's a super beast, and a ton of credit to Andy Reid, but he surrounded himself with a bunch of guys that end up becoming great coordinators and or head coaches.
Absolutely.
So that's what's on Schottenheimer and these guys right now. Yeah. And there are some, I mean, some of these guys that are being kicked around are pretty positive signs.
Well, I love that they're outside coaches that don't necessarily have crossover with Schottenheimer or Eberflus, and they are looking to try and get some input from the way other teams maybe do this.
Yeah.
So it's not full on just comfort guys. We know we're hiring our friends.
Now go dominate a draft for us. What do you say, Brian? Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's talk about some of the winners and losers from the Senior Bowl game. I'll get Wolchuk involved on that. We'll do that next.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's the king, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Looks like we're in full swing for these all-star games, these bowl games and stuff. Zach, you and Vach Lombardi did a heck of a job the 2 days.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys got to cover the East-West Shrine game. So congratulations on kind of keeping us all abreast of what's going on.
Appreciate
over there.
Appreciate you teeing that up for us, man. That was a great opportunity.
No, you guys did a hell of a job. Really did. I know we talked about it. You talked about it yesterday, some of those guys. So I'm going to focus on the Senior Bowl stuff. And, you know, this is coming from Pro Football Focus. I know I watched a little bit last night myself. When I got, did you have a chance to see any of it?
I didn't see yesterday's practice. I was trying to watch today. Some stuff. I mean, I saw clips. You know, it looked like my Minnesota tackle was doing all right out there. And Mike Green is now, everybody's catching on. The Mike Green hype train. I've been on that watch. I know you have been too, but I've been pounding the table at 12. I think that's not too high to take him. Might end up going before 12.
You really, I mean, and to me, that was one of those players where I understand who the player is, but you look at the way that he plays. Does his lack of bulk bother you in any way?
I think that he's got the frame to put on more weight, so that's why no. And he plays at a similar weight to what Von Miller did. However, I do think he's an inch or two taller. Mm-hmm. And I watched his interview with Kyle Yeomans. That's something where he has noted he's already been putting on more weight. So I'm not too worried about that. I think he's just got natural traits and just a feel for rushing the quarterback that aren't teachable. With the bend and the first step quickness, I think he's elite, and nobody else in the class has quite that to me outside of Abdul Carter.
Would you have him as your second best?
Yes.
Second best edge rusher. And so at 12, you would have absolutely no problem. Is there anybody that would keep you from drafting him at 12? Is there somebody else in that group as you look at your...
From edges or just players?
Just as players.
I would definitely, obviously, Genty, I would have graded higher than Green.
Is there any offensive lineman that you're going to have higher than
I would
that?
Not have a lineman higher than Mike Green.
Are you going to have a receiver higher than
I would have Tet McMillan and Travis Hunter higher.
Okay.
But other than that, no. He's higher than Egbuka. He's higher than Burden. You name a receiver, he's going to be higher than them on my board.
So if he gets to 12, just according to you, you're handing that
I'm
thing
probably
in.
Not going to have a play. Unless it's Genty, I'm probably not having a player higher. Yeah, or Mason Graham would be if Graham slid.
Yeah.
I'd take Mason Graham from Michigan over him.
Are you guys okay, Dawson and Chief, are you guys okay with defensive end talk?
At 12, yes. Yes.
Sounds great. At 12?
Absolutely. Premium position and... You have Eberflus now that's probably not going to be blitzing as much. Like, you need a guy opposite Micah Parsons that can get after the quarterback. I think that's going to be huge. I think defense in general, Eberflus is going to need, like, he's trying to play sound. He needs good personnel. The Tampa 2 stuff, when those defenses were awesome, they just had great players.
They did.
And you've seen the Cowboys before in that Marinelli scheme when they didn't have great players, you can struggle in a big way. The Seahawks, similarly, with the way they used to play. They had great players. I think you're going to have to really invest to get some studs defensively.
You know, I think that, you know, with Micah being who he is and Nealon and Williams and maybe you get Tank back, I think you could be okay, but if at 12 you're like, wow, this is a really good player, I'm not afraid of taking any position right now.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty open to all positions as well. I could say, give me the guy that's the safest, the healthiest, and give me the guy that checks out with the character stuff and all that. I mean, not to say don't want to take any bad guys, but just give me a guy. I mentioned earlier in the crosstalk, talking about a guy that loves football. You know, give me that type of guy that I think would help. Let me ask you then, Zach, what you had, because at the Senior Bowl, they also, and I was watching it last night, this TJ Sanders, have you seen him from?
Oh, the defensive tackle from South Carolina?
Have you seen him yet from South Carolina?
Yeah, I like him and Kennard, the edge that they've got there. But Sanders is a disruptive player. Like, when you're looking at some of these defensive tackles, like Walter Nolan, I've seen, has had a really good Senior Bowl so far, and I didn't love his tape.
Yeah.
I thought TJ Sanders' tape was better than Nolan's.
Okay, let me ask you then, because I liked Sanders, too, as that three technique type of a player from South Carolina. Nolan, though. What bothers you? And this is the Mississippi. This is the Mississippi defensive tackle. And to me, his tape did not look like he played yesterday. It didn't look like the sense of urgency and things like that with him. And I just wonder, is this a guy that all of a sudden he played in that rotating system at Mississippi, and now all of a sudden it's like he's now having to play for a job? Do you think he's heard that his tape wasn't great?
Yeah, because he can have, like I put in my notes, can have a quick burst off the line, but it just doesn't happen enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I see a player that's got the ability, just lacks consistency and effort. And it was, like, I had heard a lot of hype about Walter Nolan, transfer from Texas A&M to Ole Miss.
Right.
I wanted to watch his tape and love it. And I didn't. I mean, anytime he gets moved sideways, it's ball game for him. And I thought he really did not have a lot of variety with pass rush moves. Like, if he gets beat off if his first step isn't there, he doesn't have a chance.
Got to wonder about the work ethic there. Sounds like conditioning and stamina to me.
Yeah, the word I use is consistency.
Yes.
And I just needed to see more of that. And this is what scares me about this guy. Because he flashes like being a really good player, and then he completely disappears for stretches of the game. And I'm just thinking, how can I take this guy? You know, people were talking about, well, he's one of the top defensive tackles. He actually played like one of them yesterday.
He's looked great. And today in practice, what I got to see, he was dominating again.
See, this is what scares me there, Chief. This is what scares me about a guy that potentially, I don't think I would take him at 12. And I don't think he's going to be there at 44.
Yeah, I'm with you. See, that's why at 44, a guy that I also like that I think has some of the similar traits as Nolan, but I saw it a little bit more consistently, was Alfred Collins from Texas.
Okay, talk about him, because he's more of a one technique, isn't he? Or do you think he's a three?
I think he can be. I think he can be kind of what you were describing, Mason Graham, three that also
has 6'5", 320,
wide base also technically sound, understands leverage, strong, disruptive, can push the pocket, work stunts well, can shock and shed to get off blocks, make stops versus the run, high motor player. This is extremely high praise, and he is not this player, okay?
Right.
But I just see glimpses in his game of Chris Jones. He's not
Alfred
there.
Alfred Collins.
He's not Texas, there. Yeah. He's not Chris Jones.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he is.
Same number.
But he shows some flashes in his game. Like, man, that's pretty damn impressive. But again, consistency, that's why I would look at him in the second round. Walter Nolan's looked at as a top 15 pick right now. I didn't see that on tape. But maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
This Texas kid that you mentioned?
Yeah.
Alfred Collins, 6'5", 320? He's that big?
Yeah. He's that big. See, that's what I'm saying. Our Chief, If you had to like look at this team, look at the defense, and there's going to be a lot, I think a lot of turnover on this defense, by the way. Not only the coordinator, but I think the whole defense is going to
personnel-wise.
I think it's going to turn over. You more interested in a guy that can play? Now we need to, with Eberflus, we kind of figure out that the three technique's important to him. But if you had to say, give me the one or give me the three, which one are you leaning? I mean, do you feel good enough? And I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be. Do you feel good enough about Mazi to play him at the one and draft a three?
I don't feel good enough. I don't feel good enough with Mazi. And with the way that teams are running the ball right now, especially in your own division, that is, I think having a monster in the middle that can handle. I know the three technique is super important in the Eberflus scheme. I think you have two giant needs right there.
Does re-signing Osa and drafting a one technique, you know, get
that
me
makes,
home?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
That would make a ton of sense. I'm just, in my heart of hearts, I think that they're, you know, and they love to re-sign their own. I just don't know. I think these guys are going to go out and get more money than the Cowboys are willing to spend. That's just me. Yeah.
Well, David Moore wrote about Osa this morning, and so did Jory. And yeah. I guess Steven is saying he's going to be a main point of emphasis here in the offseason.
There's your hope right there, because that's going to be your three.
I mean, but I was reading that it could be a $100 million contract.
Yeah, because ESPN put out there. Yeah, ESPN had their top 50, I think, free agents. He was number 10.
Yeah. Real quick, Chief, if I could, in my last minute or so here. Jack Besh from TCU.
See, I talked about Nick Nash out of San Jose State.
Right. You saw him. You had good eyes on him.
And I might just have a man crush on Nick Nash as I got to see him in person. I haven't gotten to see Besh in person. But Besh also is a guy like quick, off the line, good route runner, and the hands. Like, I didn't see drops from Besh in his game really at all. His ability to stack, I thought, was really impressive. High point the football. Made a really good catch today during one-on-one drills that I saw from the Senior Bowl. So I wouldn't have an issue with Besh, but I do like Nick Nash, who you might be able to get around later.
I mean, 6'2", 215, former tight end, probably can block really, really well.
And he runs much better than I anticipated him to move.
I see a 1.6% drop rate, and it feels gaudy.
I just didn't see any drops.
69% contested catch rate as well.
Yeah, that's this kid, when you watch him play, I don't think he's the fastest. I don't think his 40 time is going to be great. But what I think he does, he finds ways to separate down the field. He's a long striding guy. And so you get a little bit of separation, but he's one of those guys that also doesn't get covered, because even if he's got guys on him, he can make those contested catches. So, Besh, he's in that mix of these wide receivers, I think, that you're probably going to be looking at 44.
Man.
If you don't grab one at 12.
A lot to like if you're doing cut split stuff and you're trying to get these wide receivers in the midst of this in the run game and a guy who can do some blocking that way.
Yep. And they need an improvement there. Their wide receivers just don't block well enough.
Terrific report, Brian. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is, a look at the Senior Bowl guys that are impressing so far. Okay, coming up next, Chief, where are you taking us?
You will not find a Super Bowl sports take hotter than this one next.